Just letting you know, overnight there was a huge landslip or a water deluge, and hundreds are missing, many feared dead, after a massive flash flood has hit the Nepal-China border. While there's 100 confirmed fatalities, there are still many tourists who are missing, could number up to 500, but just this wall of water and sludge and mud came careening down the Maunga and caught everyone by surprise. We'll keep you posted on how that unrolls. Child Poverty Action Group is launching its manifesto to reduce child poverty and calling on political parties to commit to immediate action on incomes, housing, health, disability and education. There's nearly 170,000 children across the country going without the essentials. With us today from Child Poverty Action Group is Professor Innes Asher. Innes is a paediatrician and has spent a lot of time at Auckland Uni, at the medical school and the like, and now represents Child Poverty Action Group. Thank you for joining us on the program again, Innes. Tēnā koe.
Tēnā koe.
It's a slight...
Great to be here.
Should
thank
be
you.
Soon, thank you, Innes. It should be an embarrassment to us all that the ones who need our support most, you'd have to think, being somewhat ignored. Child Poverty Action says 170,000 kids now without essentials. How did we get to this point, and what does it tell us about the effectiveness of current government policies, Innes?
Well, look, it's the very highest responsibility of good government to promote the welfare of its most vulnerable members, and those children. And we failed as a country in this area. It all started from in 1991. Our child poverty crisis started in 1991 when there was a doubling of children in poverty and disproportionately more children than other members of the population because of government policy changes. And we've not had those government policy changes from the 90s adequately rectified since. And in fact, so in 2018, the concern about child poverty was high. So we had a cross-party bill, Child Poverty Reduction Act 2018, and four of the five parliamentary parties committed to halving child poverty by 2028. Well, in fact, it's gone up in the last 3 years. So it's we're off the rails completely, off track. And this, which has prompted us to produce this manifesto based on a decade of expertise and understanding with practical solutions to bring in the policies that will lift children out of poverty.
Tēnā koe, the manifesto identifies five priority areas. That's housing, health, disability, education and incomes. If the next government could act on just one recommendation immediately, Innes, what would make the biggest difference to children living in poverty?
Those who are most impoverished are those supported by a benefit. They've been discriminated against by our governments since the 90s. And the one thing that would make an enormous difference to the poorest families with children is to bring in a universal child tax credit, which is basically continuing the tax credits we currently have under Working for Families, but allowing children who are supported by a benefit to get one crucial part of it, which is worth about $100 a week, which is the amount of money that those people are short each week. And that, so we want him to bring in a universal child tax credit, sorry, not universal, a non-discriminatory child tax credit that goes to all the poor families. At the moment, it only goes to those who are off benefit. If you're on a benefit and you're working, you still can't get this particular aspect, which is called the in-work tax credit. We want that to be folded into the family tax credit. That would have an immediate, the moment that policy comes in, we'll immediately put more money in those families, immediately. We've been calling for this since it came in 2000 and, in the 90s, and then 2005 it was embedded further. The Children's Commissioner's Solutions to Child Poverty Expert Advisory Group wanted this to happen in 2012. Court of Appeal, Child Poverty Action Group took the Crown to the Court of Appeal. They found it discriminatory and called material harm to those children who were affected. And then the Welfare Expert Advisory Group wanted this. So look, it's just time for us to get on with this immediate fix to help the poorest children. It's not going to solve all the problems by any means. As you said, there's five areas, but this is in a particular decision, a policy decision that could be made tomorrow, in fact, if anyone wanted to do it. And yes, we're wanting a cross-party agreement for people to really to really honour the commitments we made as a country in 2018. We've gone off the rails. We started to get a bit better in 2022, but then 50,000 more kids in material hardship since 2022 to 2025 is shocking.
It is shocking. You know, I really feel for beneficiaries. It's like they're being made to foot the blame for not having work, when in fact, you know, government policies over time have created an environment where the work's not there. So they're certainly left carrying the can. You mentioned the figure of about $100.
So can I just say there, the people who are on a benefit aren't just those who can't get work. That's some of them, of course. A small proportion, and others they're on a job seeker because they've got health or disability issues. But then some of them are disabled, and of course, you know, maybe the child's permanently disabled, they are themselves permanently disabled, and then there's the sole parents who are looking after dependent children. We've got to prioritise parenting somewhere in this whole mix too. There's a lot of misinformation and discrimination against the beneficiaries. This particular issue being an obvious one. And by the way, and the other thing I'd like to say is Māori and Pacific are particularly badly affected by all of these issues. And so, you know, we feel very strongly that we've got the inequities in our country are aggravated by these kinds of policies.
Tēnā koe. Our guest today is Professor Innes Asher. Innes, would you mind just sort of shaking your phone a little? We're getting a bit of a dusty signal, but it can sometimes be rectified quite easily, just perhaps turning it slightly. That's lovely, thanks. You've met with several political parties ahead of the launch of the manifesto. Are you hearing genuine commitment to reducing child poverty? Or does the issue still struggle to compete with other election priorities?
Look, we've had a lot of interest from the political parties we've met with. We haven't met with them all yet. We've tried to, but we will get a meeting with all of them. And there's a genuine interest in our manifesto, and nobody's given us any commitments at this point, but there's genuine interest across the parties we've been communicating with, which is in fact all parties, but we've had the one-on-one discussions with New Zealand First, Greens and Labour so far, waiting on appointments with Louise Upston and ACT with her, and also New Zealand Te Pāti Māori, and we're also meeting with Opportunity, not that it's in Parliament, but it looks like it might be, so we're talking to them as well.
Tēnā koe. Child poverty seemingly has been the subject of reports, targets, promises for what seems like decades. And what specific commitments should voters be looking for during this election campaign to determine whether a party's serious about lifting children out of poverty?
Well, one of the first things we want everybody to know is that child poverty is really costing this country shockingly. Our country is suffering. We all know that. And part of the picture is that child poverty is costing us between $13.5 and $18 billion per year. And it would help this country to thrive if we reduce child poverty. So I think we want them to honour the commitment they made in the Child Poverty Reduction Act and to at least commit to some of the asks in this manifesto. Some of them might take a bit longer to get up to more than doubling our building of social housing. Won't happen overnight, but we want parties to commit to the manifesto in whole or in part in this election, and to have a plan to implement it. And we want this to be a cross-party thing. This is a whole New Zealand issue. It's affecting all of us, directly or indirectly. And so we see that this is the way forward for a cross-party acknowledgement of this and agreement. And we did have this in 2018. So we're wanting that to be reenacted, to be reinforced.
Tēnā koe. Thank you, Innes, for again reminding us of the importance and how sluggish we have been addressing this issue, and how embarrassed we should be that these numbers continue to rise. Just finally, with your paediatrician hat on, you might have heard that there was news through yesterday that under fives are going to have access to flu shots as of next year. There's been a spike, a wave of kids picking up the flu, which is going rampant throughout communities at the moment. But of course, there is some hangover from the COVID situation with Māori vaccination rates. And again, sort of medical mistrust that some carry as well. And when we're asking people to vaccinate their tamariki against the flu under five, what are some of the issues that you think will surface or remain unresolved?
Well, the very key issue is that the government doesn't fund it for everybody under five, and they've got promised to do it next year. Another illustration of how children aren't being prioritised, so that the first thing is to remove the cost barrier for having it. So that's the most important thing. Once you remove the cost barrier and can access an immunisation service, then yes, there may be things that are a legacy of COVID, but I think people really want their kids to be well, and they're seeing what's happening. And I think that we have the right sort of information going out there, and a free vaccine, which we don't have for under fives, we used to have it, then I think we'll get a long way through this. No, it'll go a long way to improving things. And of course, the children living in poverty are the greatest disadvantage. And that's they'll be the ones, not people aren't saying this particularly, but they'll be disproportionately from homes where there's poor housing and material hardship. Well, those will be the kids primarily disproportionately in hospital, which goes along with what we know about kids who are disadvantaged. And of course, we know there's ongoing colonisation in this country, and we have the most shocking rates for rheumatic fever, which is a complete complication of sore throat, preventable disease, hardly known in any other country like ours. And we have here Māori children hospitalised 40 times more, and Pacific children 104 times more commonly than Pākehā children for rheumatic fever. That's how badly off track we are in this country. So there's a lot we need to do, and we'd like to see the government's committing to these changes.
It's always a pleasure hosting a kōrero with you. Thanks again for the work that's been done by the Child Poverty Action Group, and you as well, Emeritus Professor Innes Asher, our guest on the program today. Thank you, Innes, for joining us again.
Thank you very much for your time. Thank you.
Kia ora, ngā mihi. And with Urban Māori Radio, Wāte 603. Next, we'll be talking about the old ubiquitous cell phones and kids under blankets for 9 hours at a time. Now, I might be exaggerating a little bit, with their little eyes trained into onto the little screen and almost in a state of, well, I'm not quite sure how to describe it.